Seahawks Central in the Kintech studio. Hour number two of the program. Dan Riccio, Satyar Shah with you. If you want to be a part of the program, you can. 650-650 on the Dunbar Lumber text message inbox. That's how you get in touch with us with any questions or comments. If you want to get in some late additions for overrated, underrated, we'll do some overrated, underrated overflow as the hour goes on. Metro Vancouver's trusted choice for contractors and rental warriors for over 50 years. Visit them at one of their three locations to serve you or online at DunbarLumber.com. It's the Dunbar Lumber text message inbox.
Yeah, and some further commentary later in the show about the Four Nations rosters. We haven't really got into the Team Sweden roster a ton.
Which I know you've got some thoughts about. Mm-hmm. And all the big snubs on Team Sweden. Some of our texters were saying Team Sweden looks even better than Team Canada right now. You might be underrating Team Canada, but the Swedes look pretty good. I will say that.
You know, we'll get to overrated, underrated in a second. Is Team Canada overrated or underrated?
Ooh.
We'll hit that in overrated, underrated.
All right. Hit the music. We have producer Elon Chark with us today, covering overrated, underrated, because Josh has been suspended for the day. That's not true.
It's all speculation. Nobody knows what's going on.
Nobody really knows. So overrated, underrated, or perfectly rated. You give us a topic. We decide if it is one of those three things. As I posed to listeners today on X. Because Joe Burrow bought the Batmobile, like buying a car that is not legal, like that you aren't legally allowed to drive. Mm-hmm. Is that overrated, underrated, or perfectly rated?
Well, if you're a billionaire, then it doesn't matter. But as
Joe Burrow, not a billionaire yet.
Then I think
he's
overrated.
Got a lot of money.
It's overrated. Just if you can't drive it, what's the point of having it? Like for me,
wants to be Batman,
I suppose.
What are you just going to in the off season while you're not playing football or whatever, skipping OTAs so you can be Batman? I don't understand. You're gonna build a track or build a mock Gotham City in your backyard so that you can drive around in the Batmobile? He wants to buy the suit too. Is that what you told me, Elon?
I'm a big Batman.
Is he gonna talk in the Batman voice too?
Could you imagine? That's how he lives his life when he's done work. He just hangs out and he pretends to be Batman.
I don't know. I think it's underrated.
He's underrated? It's like, I got so much money. I can just spend $3 million on the Batmobile. It's fine. I don't really care.
It's pretty cool. Anyways.
Yeah. All right. Let's move on.
Let's get to the good stuff. Mm-hmm. Team Canada. Overrated, underrated.
I'd say based on some of the discussions, maybe slightly underrated.
Yeah. Canada's not the favorite right now.
Do they have the three best players in the world, though?
Yes. Are you taking anybody on any other team before, if you were drafting all of the Four Nations face-off players? McDavid.
He goes one.
MacKinnon and Makar are all 1, 2, 3.
Yeah. Now, many Canucks fans would argue that Quinn Hughes should be three. It's a tie. At the very least, let's just say it's a tie even. It's a toss-up, right?
Okay.
But, so you get one of the tie for third, you have one of them.
Yeah.
And the American's best is the third best player in the world, right? Yeah. That's how you would kind of view it then, right? If you want to go with, you want to have that kind of lens about Quinn Hughes, which is very fair to have. But I think that's maybe the big thing here.
Yeah.
As much as Canada doesn't have the same goaltending nor the same overall forward depth as the Americans do, they still have three really good scoring lines.
Yeah.
They still have a good defense. And they still have the two, three best players in the world. And if you have that in a short tournament, can that be enough? It's not like they're lacking. The only thing you're lacking is goaltending. That's it.
Yeah.
And if Aiden Hill plays well, we don't worry about it as much.
Beyond that, though, Eichel and Matthews might be the next two forwards off the list. You could make that argument. So I get it. I get why people are looking at the U.S. team and being like, man, they're really good. Because you know what? They are really good. It's the best U.S. team we've ever seen in full view of it. Even going back to the last World Cup, think about how much talent the U.S. team was missing because of the U23 roster. At that time, Canada was better able to withstand some of their U23 players not being on the main roster, And the U.S., because Eichel was on that team, on the North American U-23 roster, like Matthews was on that team.
Well, McDavid was on that team, too.
Yeah, McDavid was on that team. But, you know, Canada still had Crosby,
yeah,
you know, and everybody else, yes. Bergeron, all those guys. Yes. So, you know, I just feel like this is the first time we're really getting to see the U.S. in this iteration. And they're really good. They're deserved favorites, I believe. But let's not start underrating Canada and being like, they're not that good. Like, Canada's still freakishly good.
Two big potential free agents for the Canucks coming up. We'll make it a two-parter from Austin and Langley. Overrated, underrated, extending Kevin Lankinen.
Probably underrated, because you can. Like, the thing is, you can make it work. Like we talked about before, especially if the cap is going up, you can make it work and figure out other ways around your, you know, your cap situation. If you can get Lankinen signed, if he plays like this to the end of the season, and that's a big if, right? If he stays the way he's going, you can get him signed for under $5 million. Is that not like a bargain?
So you've already got Demko signed for $5 million.
Yeah.
That gives you some leeway here, because he is still pretty cheap on the salary cap. I think if you can get Lankinen done for under $4 million, it does still make sense to me.
I don't know if you're getting him under four. If you do, if he plays this way to the end of the year, there's no way you
can. But like,
under
Demko's going to come back, and people are going to forget about how good Lankinen was through the first bit of the season.
Yeah, but that also depends on where Demko's going to be at, and how comfortable are you signing Demko long term.
So I think it's signing Lankinen gives you cover for Demko.
Mm-hmm.
In case of injury, in case of we want to move this player because we're getting a really good trade package going into the final year of his contract. I think there's value in signing Lankinen in a lot of different ways other than like just what he provides on the ice as far as team building is concerned. But I still don't want to overextend to keep Kevin Lankinen. I'm not that guy.
We'll see. Again, we'll see. It's a lot of ifs. A lot of assumptions have to be met if they are under $5 million. Yeah, I don't think you're finding better value in goaltending, to be honest.
Yeah, Dan, you said people will forget about how good Lankinen was when
Vancouver
comes back, but other teams aren't going to forget. Huh? Someone's going to pay him.
Yeah, somebody might pay him.
Joey Decord got $5 million. And he's fine, right? He's a good goalie, but he had 1 year, he got five.
Yeah.
Overrated, underrated, extending Brännström.
Overrated.
Ooh. Ooh.
I hate to be that quick on it, but yeah, overrated.
Yeah, I think overrated too. I like what Brännström has done to this team. He's helped them immensely. Like, honestly, because of the lack of depth on the left side within the organization, at least depth that's ready to play NHL games, he's been very valuable as coming back in the Tucker Pullman trade. But they do have a lot of interesting prospects on the left side, right? When you think of Kudryavtsev, when you think of DPD, also Sawyer Mignot, who's on Team Canada or expected to be on Team Canada for the upcoming World Junior roster. So, you know, I think there's definitely a lot to like about what Brännström has done. And if he's still cheap, then I'd be interested in at least exploring that possibility, but the Canucks do have guys coming on the left side, so it's overrated.
Yeah, I mean, I like Brännström a lot. The other thing is, how much do you want to pay him though? Like, if you sign him to a 2-year deal worth $1 million per year, sure. I mean, I don't mind that. Depth, he's there. But if you're talking about, you know, giving him a contract worth a few million or anything long term, like, I'm not interested in that.
I still don't see a guy that's more than a third pair defenseman that has to be sheltered.
Well, even again, the last three games he's been averaging 15 minutes, and this is with Hronek out, right? He got hurt at the end of that game against Pittsburgh, and then, you know, he's missed the last three games, and in those games he's still averaged just about 15 minutes per game.
Yeah.
So he's not really being elevated all that much. And even last night, he had a good game. And even the game against Detroit, he scored and only played 12:52.
Yeah.
So it's one of those things where he's not even playing a big role. So you got to be careful with overrating that. And I still want to see him excel in a bigger role if he gets it before I feel good about extending him, you know, beyond next season.
Justin and East Van, overrated, underrated, the salacious speculation about JT Miller.
I believe Jim Rutherford believes this is overrated.
I think all that stuff is overrated. That's overrated. You know, like we talked about before, players can get traded. I would never put anything past this front office to make a trade on somebody. But I don't think what's going on with JT is anything overly dramatic outside of whatever he's dealing with that he needs time away from and the injuries he's obviously dealing with as well. But beyond that, all the other stuff is completely overrated. And like we kind of mentioned this on the show the last couple of days. Like even yesterday we had a mini update on it. They don't want to talk too much about it, but mention, hey, the stuff that's out there, don't put too much weight into it. Everything that I'm hearing is that's not necessarily the case. Now with trades, again, you can never put anything past this front office, but I don't get the sense that anything people are talking about is really true around JT. And even again, I even mentioned yesterday, I even got pushback on the whole Rangers thing.
Yeah.
Of that they actually asked about JT, so that the nature of that wasn't really truly what it was made out to be in the first place. So it's one of those things where
Rumor mill shenanigans picking up.
That's not to say that, you know, there haven't been some level of interest or discussions or something. I'm not disputing anybody's reporting, but all I'm saying is from people that I trust, that I rely on and talk to, like a lot of nothing there as far as the trade rumors and also any of the salaciousness.
Yeah, in any sport, this would be a big deal, right?
Yeah.
For example, Andrew Wiggins of the Warriors is a good NBA player. He missed the first 2 weeks of the season for personal reasons.
Yeah.
Came back. He's been playing good. So, you know, it happens.
Good point.
Overrated, underrated, Max Sasson's play thus far?
Honestly, I think it's been perfectly rated. I don't mean to play Switzerland on this, but, you know, he's been a solid fourth liner. You know, he's done his job coming up to the team, has factored in on some goals. He's been good at both ends of the rink, showed some good details in his game, but there wasn't anything like over the top that we got to keep this guy on the roster right now. I think this was a good taste for him in the NHL and continues to show that he is a possible, you know, role player for this team down the line. What Max Sasson has done has been perfectly rated.
I'll say underrated because of he was not talked about at all and he got a chance to come up and he showed that he can, you know, play a couple of games and look okay. And, you know, two points in five games, which is still more points than Baines has had in 11 games in his games played. Lekkomäki had one goal, 1 point in five games. So if you look at the point production, you mentioned some of the detail stuff. I still look at a player who's not ready for the NHL. So I wouldn't overrate what he's done, but I think, you know, how he's emerged and how he actually gave the team something for a couple of games, I think that was, we can chalk it up for an underrated for me.
Okay.
This one's from Mike, lasting 8 weeks with only one top four D-man.
Totally overrated.
Do we have to?
Yeah.
I
mean, if you do it, you're underrated. If you pull it off, right?
Okay. Well, maybe we revisit this in 8 weeks. What would be an underrated record? Or,
well, how many games do the Canucks have? Like, so we're talking about, what, 18 games? No, more, like 20 games?
It's probably closer to 25.
25.
From now till 25, maybe even 30, the end of January, pretty much.
Let's say 25. So that's 50 available points. Would, if you get 60% of the points, so if you get 30 points?
Yeah. That would be very good. That would be underrated. You know, I think going 500 in that time is almost overrated. So it's kind of as one of my former, like favorite former Vancouver coaches says, fine line, you know?
Fine lines, mate.
For where the Canucks like need to be, like you still got to find a way to be above 500 points percentage, right?
Yeah. I mean,
that length of a period, like you need to find a way to get this next stretch of games and still be, you know, ideally between 27 and 32 points in the available points.
So say the next 25 games, you only get 25 points. That puts the Canucks at about 55 points in 49 games.
Yeah.
Which puts them kind of on the bar of being a playoff team at that point.
So, you know, it would be a bit of a step back, right? And look, the Western Conference is no great shakes. There's a lot of holes in some of the Western Conference contenders. But, you know, you want to maintain a pretty solid standing going into the final third of the season. Yeah. And the way you do that is by picking up, you know, kind of between 27 to 34 points, somewhere in that kind of range. That would be like getting towards the higher end of that number would be fantastic, especially without Hronek. And we don't know when Demko's coming back, don't know when Miller's coming back. But if you're able to get in and around 30 points over these next 25-ish games, the likely without Filip Hronek, I think that would be underrated.
Yeah, so right now, the playoff bar in the West is somewhere around 90 points, 90, 92, if I'm looking at Edmonton being the final team. Now, I'm doing a very rough look at this live on the show here. It's about a 92-point pace to be the eighth seed right now in the Western Conference. If the Canucks go 500 until game 49, they would be at a 92-point pace. So you want to be above that. But you know, that's the benefit of having a good start to the season. Even if you only play 500 the next 25 games, you still have at the very least, you're in the playoff mix and you're not far out of it. And you want to do better than that, but that's kind of the baseline minimum you have to kind of be at.
It looks like it's about 26 games from now until the end of January. So,
yeah. So 50, get to the 50 game mark.
And Hronek's right? already missed two. You collected 3 points in those. Actually, three he's missed already,
yeah.
And you've collected 5 points of those, so that's really good.
Yeah.
But you still need to, like, 500 just isn't good enough. You know, yeah. I mean, it probably
keeps you in it.
Keeps you in
the playoff race. It doesn't keep you in the division race.
You're
you'll be out of the division race if you are a 500 team until game 50.
So you need to be kind of in that 30-point range. Get another 30 points over these next number of games. You don't have to be incredible, but you've got to be able to keep a decent point pace from now until the end of January.
Overrated, underrated, Tom Olander being called up before the playoffs after his season is done.
I mean, I think he'll get a chance if he signs afterwards to play a few games. I think overrated if you're expecting any sizable impact.
Yeah. Do we think it's a slam dunk he gets signed at the end of his current season in college?
I mean, the way his season is going is trending that way.
Because he's playing so well?
He's been playing really well, playing big minutes. He's productive.
It's getting to a point where is there going to be much left for him to prove at the college level?
Yeah, and I don't know if it's guaranteed he plays for the Canucks next season, right?
Yeah.
Well, not the Vancouver Canucks, maybe the Abbotsford Canucks,
the
right?
The baby Canucks.
I can see the Canucks, you know, taking their time with him because he's still, as much as he's, you know, he's productive, he's doing a lot of good things, he still has things to improve, and he's still raw, and there's a lot of tools he has. And do you want to either get the most out of him at the NHL right now, or do you want to explore what the ceiling is for him a bit more? Because if you want to do that, I would argue having him at least spend a sizable portion of next year in Abbotsford would be a great thing. Put him in bigger situations. He's not getting power play time here. He's not getting bigger situations here, not right away at least, right? But can you do some of that in Abbotsford and grow your game and perhaps take a step in something? For me, it's about Willander being a lifetime Canuck, potentially being here for a decade. That's the way I look at him. And is the best thing for him being here a decade, playing for the Canucks right away, or him taking his time?
It's probably taking his time. Like, defensemen, they just need a longer runway before getting to the NHL, especially when you're a player that is profiling as, I wouldn't say a defensive defenseman, but a guy who's, you know, his value in the NHL isn't going to be the kind of offensive numbers he puts up.
No, but I think there is like, more he can do 5-on-5-2.
There's offensive talent there, as he's showing this year in college. But I don't think, like, he's not a guy that's going to show up and be on power play one.
No. I mean, that's
especially
not
with Quinn Hughes.
Yeah.
But, you know, he's just, I think there's a lot of value in letting him marinate longer because of the style of game he's going to play or the style of game he's projected to play at the NHL level.
Overrated, underrated, Besser and Garland not making Team USA.
I think it's perfectly rated they're not on the team.
Yeah. Besser, I mean, Garland, I think Garland kind of put himself in the conversation a little bit, but I think he was so far out of the conversation at the start of the year that it was never realistic for him to make the team.
No, and I'm not sure.
Not with the depth that they have.
I'm not sure who you're taking out. And again,
and the profile player that he is. They wanted big forwards.
And he wouldn't be on the first unit power play.
Yeah.
And he wouldn't be really, he's not really a penalty killer. He can kill penalties. He's done some a little bit this year, and he's looked good at it, but he's not really viewed as a penalty killer. I just don't know where the utility is as far as him being more valuable than some other guys they picked, right? And, I mean, I don't think you can feel, I mean, you can feel however you want. I'm going to tell you not how to feel. But when a guy like Jason Robertson, who struggled a bit this year, but who scored 40 goals in back-to-back years, and a guy like Clayton Keller, who's as talented as a player as there is, when guys like that don't make it, I don't think you can feel like, I don't think you should be overly aggrieved that Besser didn't make the team.
Yeah. Besser's all-around game is underrated.
Yes.
And I think that is part of the reason he doesn't get on this team because, like, look, he's not just a power play guy. He's not, like, I get not putting Cole Caulfield on the team if you don't see him as your number one power play unit guy, right? Despite the fact that he's got 16 goals this year. I can see that Tage Thompson isn't a Team USA player. The guy's never played a meaningful game at the NHL level because the Buffalo Sabres always stink. And so Tage Thompson hasn't had to play big games in springtime, even in the NHL, to sort of throw him into this kind of a thing would seem like a lot for as good of a player as he is. But Besser, you know, Besser showed last year, not only is he a good all-around player, scored 40 goals, how good was he in the postseason? Like, he was unbelievable.
Yeah.
7 goals in 12 games for the Canucks through the postseason last year. If you're looking for a guy who shows up in big moments, 5-on-5 and on the power play, like, Besser could have been that guy. It's just that team is so stacked, it's really hard to find a place where you'd put Besser outside of somebody else. Maybe you take Chris Kreider off the team, somebody like that.
Yeah, I mean, I know Kreider is a guy who gets mixed
Brock Nelson's
reviews.
A really good, you know, defensive player as well, can also play center, so like he's got utility to his game.
Yeah,
like, those are the kinds of guys you're talking about putting Brock Besser on the team over, and it's really hard to make that argument because this U.S. team is so stacked. But I definitely have more of an argument to make for Besser than Garland.
Yeah, I think Brock Nelson is probably the most underrated power forward in the league.
Mm-hmm.
3 straight years of 34-plus goals, and he had 34 last year, 36 and 37 the years before that. He's big, he's physical, he can PK, he can do a bit of everything for you. Really good in front of the net on the power play as well. I really don't have an issue with Brock Nelson being on the team. You know, like, we're not talking about some guy who scores 15-20. Like, this is a legitimate, you know, big-time producing power winger who can do a little bit of everything for you.
Next.
So would you say that picking the roster by best available players is overrated? You trying to make the best team?
Yeah, it's not an all-star game, right? At least that's not. I mean, again, if it turns out to be an all-star tournament and they don't take it seriously, and we have people texting in, they're like, no, these guys are killers, Kirk said, and, you know, they're going to take it seriously. I agree. So if it's a real tournament, then, yeah, it's not about picking the best players. It's having the best team.
Yeah. Like, again, Cole Caulfield, I think, is the best example. The guy's an unreally, like, incredibly talented player. Where does he fit on Team USA? You know, for as much as, yeah, you want that goal scoring, there's other guys that have goal scoring talent, maybe not quite as good as Cole Caulfield, but also bring other elements that you're going to need to see out games. And that's why it's hard to, I get why people just say, just pick the best available players. Like, well, what, is Dylan Strome one of your best available Canadian players right now? Who's picking Dylan Strome to be on Team Canada?
Well, yeah, and even, you know, somebody made a point. It's like, yeah, you know, Americans are picking a team for the war of attrition, but it's a short tournament. You know, skill and speed plays up more. Okay, it's a fair point, but we're talking about, what, the 12th, 11th, and 13th forward on these teams? The Americans still have Matt Boldy, Jack Hughes, Kyle Connor, Brady Tkachuk, Jack Eichel, Dylan Larkin, Matthew Tkachuk, Jake Gensel, Austin Matthews, and JT Miller.
Yeah.
Like, we're talking loaded. Brock Nelson. That's the one guy.
Yeah.
All right? So it's like...
And Matt Boldy's a freakishly good player, too.
And the back end still has Quinn Hughes, Adam Fox, Zach Werenski, super talented, skillful defenseman. So I think the Americans have a bit of... Like, there isn't a weakness on their team, except perhaps do they have, like, a legitimate penalty killer, a forward. Which is like, you know, the Canadians have Cirelli, for instance, right?
Yeah, and Hagel.
Right.
And they do it together, too, for their club team. So.
Yeah, I guess Trocheck's kind of that guy.
Yeah. It's tough. But at least there's no Kirk Maltby on any of these rosters. Dan Riccio, sorry to disrespect Kirk Maltby. There was no reason for that. Sorry, Kirk. Yeah. It's Dan Riccio, Satyar Shah. More of your questions, comments coming up next, and more of our thoughts on the Four Nations face-off rosters here coming on Sportsnet 650.